Please turn in your Bible to Proverbs 22, 29. Proverbs 22, 29. Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will serve before kings. He will not serve before obscure men. Now, if you could turn to Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Actually, Lila read this for us just a few moments ago. Colossians 3. Actually, she didn't read this one. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So, happy Labor Day weekend to all of you. Everyone here has worked, works, or will work. So today we celebrate the Lord's Sabbath, and which is a solemn day of rest from our work. So I suppose we can figure that with our national holiday tomorrow, it's kind of a Sabbath doubleheader. So I promise no more than three baseball references today. So as has become our tradition here at Old Orchard, I'll share today about my experience of faith at work as a layperson. I was joking with Ron earlier this week that he just does this for us, that we can appreciate what he does every week. So I do have a newfound appreciation for you, Ron, and for seminarians and for all of you pastors who prepare to speak on Sundays. So first I'll give you some background on what I do and on the company I work for. Then I'll explore my company's core principles from a Christian standpoint. And finally, I'll share a few ideas of how we can live as believers in the workplace. So about what I do. You're probably wondering, like my parents and in-laws do, what exactly do you do again, Matt? Or it's in the quote from one of the all-time cinema classics. No, not What About Bob? The movie Office Space. What would you say you do? Thank you, Greg. I'm a consultant, so of course the answer is, it depends. Seriously, though, depending on who's asking, the answer does depend. So, for example, if I'm at the airport in India, when the Indian immigration officer asks, I'm an IT consultant. No further questions there. To my parents, I do computer stuff. On my LinkedIn profile, I'm an agile software development practices coach. So basically, I travel around the country, meeting with business people, software developers, to teach, advise, guide them to better ways of working together to use technology to solve their problems. So for example, sometimes I work with business people to show them how to collaborate with their technical colleagues. Recently, I facilitated a week-long workshop with a pizza chain to help them work with their technical staff to figure out how they are going to expand to China. So identifying problems that they might have, like with internationalization, technical problems, infrastructure in China. Sometimes I work side by side with a software development team to create automated tests to ensure that the team is building the right software, such as like a bank with their fraud detection. You know, every time you run a credit card transaction, there's almost an instantaneous check to make sure that your credit card hasn't been stolen. So my job affords me a chance to consult with many different organizations and try to solve lots of different problems. It does require travel, since our customers are all around the country and the world, but I also get to work from home sometimes. And occasionally I'll work to help my own colleagues improve. As many of you know, this summer, Megan and Phoebe and I were in India for several weeks, and I was there as a coach and mentor for our company's recent graduate hires. There's a program, immersive training program for them. So that you could say my job is a mix of counselor, teacher, technologist, researcher, guide, and evangelist.
You're a pastor.
I don't think so. Okay, so my company's principles. So Royce, in kind of background on my company, Roy Singham founded ThoughtWorks in Chicago over 20 years ago with the aim of attracting and employing the best knowledge workers in the world, building a community based on attitude, aptitude, and integrity. So the company has grown to over 2,500 people and 29 offices in 12 countries, our latest being Ecuador. The company is established kind of based on, I think, the guys over in Ben and Jerry's ice cream, three pillars as the main principles of its mission. So these pillars are not necessarily Christian virtues or values, but I believe that in discussing them today through the lens of Scripture and how we are called to work in the kingdom, all of us here can understand how we can take an approach to work that is redeeming, regardless of where we work. So the pillars are, one, run a sustainable business. Two, champion software excellence and revolutionize the IT industry. Three, advocate passionately for social and economic justice. So pillar one, run a sustainable business. This is a deceptively straightforward idea. Make money. More specifically, make enough money to stay in business for the long term. Regrettably, for some at ThoughtWorks, but also in the wider culture, I think, and even sometimes in the church, the profit motive is seen as, at best, a necessary evil, and at worst, anathema, as many mistake it for greed. However, the imperatives of running a sustainable business, such as treating customers honestly and fairly and respecting employees, are virtuous. As economist Stephen Grable has observed, the powers of the market reward and reinforce Christian behaviors like trustworthiness, self-control, sympathy, and fairness. For example, on several occasions, ThoughtWorkers, which is what we're known as, ThoughtWorkers have offered to leave an engagement early if we find that we're no longer needed, even though we could continue to bill on the engagement. As a consultant, I have freedom to arrange my travel and eat where I choose when I'm working on an engagement, but my calling as a believer, working in a framework that values profitability, constrains me to take an entrepreneurial approach, as I am a steward of other people's money and want to take the long view of mutual ongoing success. So as Christians, we can willingly participate in a system whose structure promotes mutually prosperous relationships. When we make the choice to work, we increase the world's well-being one small transaction at a time. If someone pays you to build a cabinet for him, he has deemed the trade worth his money, and you wouldn't have used your skill unless you knew that the income was worth your time. So in this view, the market, far from elevating greed and self-sufficiency, fosters interdependence and cooperation as it improves well-being. The Bible gives us another reason to work in such a way as to create wealth. It is to benefit others and, if possible, avoid burdening others unnecessarily. And this is what Lila read, actually. So Ephesians 4:28, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. So far from being a necessary evil, the idea of running a sustainable business is, in my view of Scripture and our calling, a necessary good. Okay, pillar two. Champion software excellence and revolutionize the IT industry. So one of the reasons I wanted to work at ThoughtWorks and one of the reasons I love my job is that I get to work with some of the best people in the software development industry, people who are passionate, sometimes too passionate, about what they do. My team's vision talks about how We help software teams discover the practices and tools they need on their journey toward greatness. I grant it sounds a little highfalutin, but it's a worthy goal to strive for. After all, most of us use software, and regardless of whether it's to help save lives or book travel more easily, we need it to work because we increasingly rely on it. And the idea of championing excellence, I believe, is biblical. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." So in pursuing excellence, we, as those created in God's image, show forth that image. Dorothy Sayers, in her essay, Why Work?, asserts that work is the natural exercise and function of man, the creature who is made in the image of his creator. The motto that I use for my work blog, Scire et Creare, is Jim here today? Thankfully, maybe he's not. Apologies to Jim, hello. It's Latin for to know and to create, which I believe reflects something of how God has made us in his image. What do you do in your work that reflects how you are made in God's image? As we read from Proverbs, do you see a man skillful or diligent in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. The English pastor John Gill elaborates that to be skillful or diligent in our work is to be constant in it, swift, ready, and expeditious at it, who industriously pursues it, cheerfully attends it, makes quick dispatch of it, does it off of hand, at once, and is not slothful in it, nor weary of it. While many of us may not be rewarded in this life for it, we will indeed stand in glory before the King of the universe if we work as unto him. Also, striving for excellence in our work is part of what we might call our implicit witness. When I worked with Nate, we had a colleague who many of you know and prayed would come to saving faith. Part of our witness was explicit, but part of it was her seeing how we worked as colleagues. In India, I was having breakfast with one of the African grads in our program. As we talked, we found out that we were both brothers in the Lord. And he said, "Matt, I could tell something was different about you. You always have a joy at work. I can see the light shining in you." This is not as often as the case as I would like it to be, but people do notice something about us when we work as unto the Lord. Pillar 3. Anybody remember what it was? Advocate passionately for social and economic justice. ThoughtWork spends a lot of time and energy working for social causes, some helpful, some unwittingly harmful. One example of the former is a mobile app called RapidFTR, which stands for Family Tracing and Reunification. It helps people in war zones and disaster zones to connect with lost family members, lost children who've been, families who've been torn apart. You can photograph and record and share information about your lost family members. So projects like these we can affirm as Christians as being good. Sometimes, however, because this passion to advocate for social justice, because it's not based in God's love and truth, it can result in warped decisions, such as when ThoughtWorks refused to work with the Salvation Army because of its biblical view of human sexual relationships. But the pillar is a bridge for me as a believer to occasionally present the beautiful and often challenging alternative of God's plan. While I was at ThoughtWorks University in India, one of our weekly events was Pachakucha Night. Pachakucha is a presentation format that emphasizes speed and focus by limiting the speaker to only 20 slides and 20 seconds each slide. You're probably wishing I would have been so brief today. But the theme was social causes, so I chose the topic of adoption, which many of you know has had an impact in my own extended family. By crossing the bridge of social justice, I was able to talk not only about how adoption is a life-affirming choice, but why I support it. Sharing how I, as a Christian, believe that all people have dignity, created as they are in God's image. It was a way to out myself as a Christian and to claim some of the mantle of social justice under God's name. Later, one of the students in the program wrote, "I'm thankful to have gotten to know you at TWU, especially as an openly professing Christian. You've inspired me to be more open about my opinions and faith, even when I'm in the minority. It can be scary sometimes." Indeed, Christians at ThoughtWorks are few. So I see my work there as my mission, just as all of us need look no further than our work to find a mission field. I mentioned earlier how working as unto the Lord is an implicit witness. The company charge to advocate passionately for justice is sometimes an opportunity for me to explicitly witness. One of my flatmates at TWU, an atheist Chinese colleague named Min, came to a concert with me at the Bangalore Presbyterian Church. We had several good talks about faith as our time together in India came to an end. We were sitting in the airport in Bangalore around 1 in the morning waiting for our respective flights home. And we were talking. Min asked me, "What does God want us to do?" By God's grace, I was able to tell him, as Micah instructs, that he wants us to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with him. Now, as believers, we aren't normally so lucky to have such a straightforward moment to share. But as Branch Rickey once said, luck is the residue of design. So building bridges is one way to do that. I know, as Presbyterians, we don't believe in luck, but you get the idea. So that was my second baseball reference. Okay. To conclude, your work is obviously different from mine, but I'll leave you with three thoughts that hopefully will encourage you in your work. Whether you cook meals, paint, care for patients, teach, manage a budget, counsel someone, research, or create something beautiful for someone. So, one, honor the Sabbath. This is one of the first commands that God gives us, and it's for our own good, and I can attest to it. I try to keep my Sunday work free. My colleagues know that I won't answer email on Sunday. I try to avoid traveling on Sunday. My neighbor even noticed that by mowing my lawn, when I do, on other days, I can enjoy Sunday with my family. It also helps me center my week on what matters. I know some of you don't have this option. But to the extent that you can plan your work ahead of time, you can enjoy what God has set aside for you and help your work in the process. Number two, always be ready to share your faith when the time comes. Peter calls us to be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. In order to prepare for his season as the team's second baseman, Cardinal Matt Carpenter took literally thousands of ground balls this spring training. This is the third reference, by the way, third and final. So before games, he still takes dozens of grounders. But in a game, how many chances does he typically get? Anyone? Three? That's a good guess. Yeah, good. Okay, so being a stat geek, I of course looked up the answer. So it's four. Very close, Kelly. 4.35 to be exact. But that's it. He takes thousands of grounders so that he can be ready for four chances in a game. But I think that the same is true with Scripture. The more we read God's Word, the better prepared we'll be. Like our brother in the Lord Carpenter, we may only get a few chances, but we will be ready to speak the truth. And as Peter goes on to say, do it with gentleness and respect. Number three. Work as unto the Lord. When we are skillful or diligent in our work, we strengthen our implicit witness and the calling that we have to make disciples of all nations. Work in such a way that when you do out yourself as a believer, people aren't surprised. Or maybe they will be surprised, And they'll be challenged. Their view about Christianity will be challenged or informed. Similarly, not doing our work well compromises our witness. And remember that to work is in and of itself a calling and a form of stewardship. When he wrote to the Colossians, Paul knew people had difficult colleagues or were never appreciated for their work or toiled at unfulfilling jobs. But in addition to being faithful to God by taking care of your family or by working, take courage from the fact that you will receive God's inheritance as your reward. For in your work, you are doing nothing less than serving the Lord Jesus Christ.